Undercover Carson, Secret Agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
The apparent treachery of Herman Nagel, the American flyer, had left us stranded in a remote part of the Brazilian wilds. Well, that was bad enough, but now I was trapped behind the ancient altar of sacrifice in a crumbling temple. With me was Sally Bruin, the daughter of Professor Bruin, one of the six connected with the original Death Ray project. But this was scarcely the time to appreciate her sweet presence, her gentle English voice, or to tell her how the light danced on her chestnut hair. I'd discovered how the eternal light had come to gleam above the ruins. But now it was out, and that meant trouble from the nearby savages who'd been held in its sway. As far as I knew, the faithful Angela was sleeping half a mile away. Sally's father, almost wasted to skin and bone by some strange sickness, was up above, unprotected from the primitive vengeance of the savages. The slab that had shuddered shut would not budge.
It's no use, Mr. Carson. You'll never shift it.
I'm afraid you're right, Sally.
It falls into place from outside.
And locks?
Yes. You remember that shaft of stone I had to move?
Yes, I certainly do. Thought at the time that it would keep the big slab well in place.
Oh, this is ghastly.
Yes, it is, rather.
And Father's up there with no one to protect him.
Oh, now, steady, my dear.
But I just can't cope with it all. It was bad enough coming to this terrible place without all the things that have happened. It's so nightmarish.
Well, we must keep our heads, Sally.
But what can we do?
And that light. Get it gleaming again.
Oh, it's no use. The pipe's not connected.
What say we connect it?
Oh, you'd still have to get up on top of the ruins with a taper.
Oh, I see.
Oh, we're trapped. We'll never get out.
Isn't there any other way?
No. Father always told me there wasn't. You see, it was built for the priests who made the sacrifices. At least that's what Father said.
And they were kept under lock and key.
Well, I suppose so.
It seems a trifle hard to imagine that. Oh, I can't understand it at all.
Well, I can. The light's gone out. We've no hold over the natives any longer. They'll do anything to Father.
Now, Sally.
But you don't know what they can be like.
I only need to feel the back of my head another fair idea.
They're so terribly primitive.
Perhaps not as much as you think.
Mr. Carson, I don't understand.
How'd that pipe yonder get unstuck?
Well, I couldn't see.
You the only one who handles it?
Only me and Father.
Well, could he in his present state?
Oh, no. No, he can scarcely walk without help.
When did you adjust this last?
This morning. Oh, it was terribly careless of me.
Oh, my dear.
We'll never get out of here. Never.
I refuse to agree, my dear. There must be some way out. Well, perhaps I refused to agree vocally, but as I went over and over the huge stone blocks that formed the walls, I had to admit that Sally seemed right. It was a weird place to be trapped, especially with all the neglected scientific equipment that had been gathered here by Bruin for his fruitless experiments. Chaka was the evil genius, and it seemed he would have no further trouble from me. Well, to pass the time and take Sally's mind off things, I drew her out, so getting the full story behind her presence in this wilderness.
I was born in England.
Oh, you were, eh?
Father was attending a university there for further studies, and he met my mother.
Then you went to the continent?
Yes, to Father's home in Warsaw.
You like it?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't remember it. You see, I left there when I was just 2½.
Well, back to England.
That's right. They didn't get on. Father was obsessed with his work. Mother was homesick for England.
Well, they separated?
Yes. Oh, but Mr. Carson, surely you don't want to hear anything so dull at a time like this.
Well, must pass the time somehow, dear. Besides, I don't find it dull.
There's nothing very interesting about me, I assure you.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Truly. I went to an ordinary school. I did the ordinary things in a very ordinary way. Mother was such a clever person, she used to get so cross with me.
Your mother's not alive, of course.
No, she died just after the war. I was still at school.
And that left you alone?
Not quite. I went to live with Mother's sister in London, but she died soon after I started work there.
As a receptionist?
Yes, in a doctor's rooms.
Then you were quite alone?
Yes, and it was terrible.
I can't imagine a girl like you wanting for company, Sally.
But I'm so hopeless. I don't seem to be able to say bright things or be gay or anything.
My dear, you just look helpless as you do. That'll be enough to turn the coldest male heart.
Well, life was rather monotonous. That's why I just went crazy about everything when the letter came asking if I was the daughter of Professor Jacob Bruin. We'd never heard from him after the start of the war, and Mother said he must have been killed.
And exactly how did you hear?
Through a solicitor. He'd been asked to make the search by Father's agents in Rio de Janeiro.
So you came all the way out here?
Yes. I had a wonderful few days in Rio first. Then I flew up to this place.
Yeah. By seaplane, you said?
Yes. Oh, and how it seemed to flap and shudder.
Quite an old bus, eh?
Incredibly.
Piloted by a Brazilian?
Well, whatever he was, he didn't speak English.
Hmm. And what did he look like?
Oh, really, I took so little notice. Besides, Mr. Carson, I just can't think of things. Especially when we're locked in here, not knowing what those little brutes are doing to Father. We're trapped and there's no way of getting out.
Look, my dear, there's plenty of furniture hereabouts. The night's getting on. Why don't you try sleeping a while?
Oh, I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Oh, well, we're liable to be here for some time.
Forever. Till we're just bones like the ones that were left here by the lost people.
Oh, now, Sally, there's still a chance.
But there can't be.
Well, in due course, someone's bound to wonder where I am. That's provided the evil spirits don't carry the day.
What's that you're saying, Mr. Carson?
No, never mind, dear. You try to rest. I'll look this place over again. It was useless, of course. Angela was the only chance. But would he know where to look? And could he conquer his native terror of the place? Sally looked dreadfully pathetic. I wished I could do something to comfort her, but by this time words did little to help. In this echoing gloom, remote from the sounds of the jungle world, I too succumbed somewhat to the despair. But then there seemed to be some noise on the other side of the slab that shut us in.
Mr. Carson.
Yes, I heard it, Sally.
That's the locking stone being moved.
Yes, I guess that.
They might be coming in after us.
Then we'll be prepared, like so.
What on earth are you doing with that pipe?
Yeah, this pipe, my dear, makes a handy weapon. Fires a spring arrow. And, for extra armament, I've another that shoots small bullets. So, stand by. The slab is moving.
Yes.
It's a friend, Sally.
Senor. Senor. You're safe?
So.
Oh, then I offer great thanks.
Ah, stout work, old chap.
But hasten out, Senor.
Don't worry. Come along, Sally.
Oh, yes. Yes. But who is this?
Yeah, it's my good friend, Angelo.
Oh, Senor. Early this night, I failed you. I am the cowardly one. I escape in sleep. When I awaken, you've departed, and I know where. This time I fight against the fear of my ancestors. I return to this place, and I find this strange light no longer burning. Perhaps the evil spirits have gone. So I approach. But I see a frightening sight, Senora, and I'm powerless to interfere.
And what was this?
A crime of violence.
Who? Where?
Above, Senorita. An aging gentleman.
My father. What's happened to him?
Your father?
Yes, yes, but tell me quickly.
I fear he is dead.
Dead?
Stabbed by the savages, Senorita.
Oh, no!
Oh, now, Sally. Steady, my dear.
Please, Mr. Carson, take me to him.
Ah, Senor, the young woman mourns deeply.
Yes, it's a shock to her, Angela. It's best we don't disturb her for a moment.
I see. One can offer little comfort at this stage of disorder.
Well, we've got to keep our eyes skinned, just in case those savage devils make another sortie.
I do not consider they will return. Their work is done.
Yes. Well, we haven't your full story. You hinted something. How did you locate us, for instance?
I followed one of the savages, Senor. He crept into the vault of the altar of sacrifice. There, he removed the stone which locked the great swinging slab that imprisoned you.
You say a native did this?
Ah, see.
Oh, I thought it was you. Heard you, as a matter of fact.
I merely examined the stone after he had departed.
What do you mean, he left us free to escape?
Indeed.
That's very, very odd.
That is not the only strange event that I observe. In the presence of the Senorita, I do not inform you of all.
Well, go ahead. I'm all ears, old chap.
Well, when first I observed the aged gentleman, he is alone. With great difficulty, he has risen from his couch, and he has reached into a hidden crack in the wall, where he removes this.
This? What the deuce?
Examine it, Senor.
It's a notebook. By Jove! scientific data.
Indeed.
Oh, shit, this might be something on the death ray.
That is what I think to myself when I observe him in the attempt to destroy it by burning.
I get it now. He really thought I was one of Charco's men. But I suspected some of the information was still here, and it was.
But I whip it from his hand.
Yeah, good work.
And it collapses, moaning, upon the bed.
Oh, I say. Angelo, it wasn't you who did the stabbing.
Oh, senor.
Sorry, old chap. Continue.
Well, I'm barely into the shadows of darkness again when the savages enter. Without ceremony or delay, they plunge their knives. Well, from their talk, senor, it appears to me that the entire matter was arranged.
Arranged?
Indeed. When the gleam of the light vanished, it seemed it was a signal to them.
Oh, but, Angelo, that light was man-made, you know, in spite of all your fears. Oh,
I know that, senor. And these natives also knew.
Great heavens. This grows more and more bewildering. Oh, one thing, anyway, at least we have this book. We've information on the death ray at last.
Senor, in a moment you will have a tearful cheek upon your shoulder.
Huh? What do you mean? Oh, Sally.
Mr. Carson, I feel so helpless. You must get me away from this hateful place.
Oh, certainly, my dear, certainly.
I seem so utterly deserted.
Well, that's our trouble, too. You see, we arrived by plane, but it's deserted us.
But how?
Our pilot just took off into the clouds and vanished.
Then you're stranded here, too?
Yes, I'm afraid so. It's not exactly the friendliest of places for such a predicament. The burning question is, how are we to get out? Much time was to pass before I was to account for the strange actions of these savages. Meanwhile, it seemed that we had precious information. But without a plane to get us out, we were stranded badly in Operation Death Ray.
Undercover Carson is written by Michael Noonan and produced by Walter Pym for Artransa.